back to another Tour de Pussy episode of the First Time Watchers podcast.
Because we like to watch.
My name is Tim Costa.
This is Walter Vinci.
Romano De Solo.
What we like to do on the FTW podcast is find a movie that none of us have seen, watch it together, and then discuss. These movies could be new, they could be old, or something that is on all of our lists of shame. And remember to email us at firsttimewatchers@gmail.com, and stay tuned to the end of this episode for other ways to contact us, and to find out what we'll be discussing next week. In this episode, we will be talking about the 2010 Danish comedy, Clown. But before we get into that, it's time for Yay or Nay. Yay! This is the part of the show where we discuss what we have seen recently on our own. Hermano?
Alright, first movie, I got two movies. First one is Frankenweenie, new movie from Tim Burton. I only know Winona Ryder as one of the voice actors, so I don't really recognize...
Martin Short, Martin Landau, Winona Ryder.
Yes.
Helena Bonham Carter? She in it?
No,
I don't think she was, actually.
Holy crap. It's the sign of the apocalypse.
Unless she was Sparky.
Ooh, Christopher Lee's in this. As movie Dracula.
Yes. Oh, that was actually one of the parts. It's the only live-action scene in the whole movie.
Oh.
It's funny. Like, the characters are watching a movie, and it's him.
Oh, is it old footage of him?
Yeah, it's old footage of him in his Dracula movie or whatever.
Oh, that's awesome.
But basically, the movie is a story, pretty much an unconventional story of a boy and his dog. And, you know, it's not a spoiler to say, you know, it's been on all the trailers. The dog dies, and the boy brings it back to life. Sort of like a loose retelling of Frankenstein, I guess. But, I saw it in 3D, which I actually hate 3D, but for convenience purposes, the best time it was showing was at 7, and the only showing was a 3D showing, so I decided to bite the bullet, and as usual, the 3D was totally not necessary. I honestly stopped noticing it after, like, maybe the first 10 minutes. I could not even tell it was there.
Was it ever intrusive?
No, because it's like that barely there 3D where, like, oh, look, something's kind of in the foreground. Amazing. Totally worth an extra $3 to $4. But the movie itself wasn't bad. It's kind of a return for Tim Burton. You know, it's got all those Tim Burtonisms where, you know, you got, you know, creepy, slightly weird characters, you know, like kind of gothic, you know, like there's like a goth girl character, you know, the creepy weird girl, you know, with big eyes that never blink. And overall, I thought it was pretty decent. It's definitely marketed wrong. I feel like it's been marketed for kids, and this movie's pretty dark. Like,
well, it didn't do very well in the box office. Fucking Taken 2 beat it in the box office, and I guess my opinion is, I think that because it's black and white, it turns off kids from wanting to see it.
That was the point I was going to make. It's not very... It's obviously, like, most kids' movies are super colorful. Like, you watch any of the Pixar movies or any
the DreamWorks movies, yeah.
Yeah, they're all super colorful, super out there. And this movie's really dark. And in more ways than just being black and white, there's, like, you know, some pretty, I think, adult-oriented things in it. Like, you know, that have to revolve around death. And they're just... surprising that it was marketed for kids, and I could see why it wouldn't do well with a kid audience. I mean, there was one other family there when I was in the theater, and they had kids, and they were, like, running around the theater. They could care less about the movie. They were just, you know, jumping from row to row and stuff like that, so it didn't keep their interest, and I don't see it doing much for kids. But overall, I thought it was okay. I mean, Tim Burton's been on a downslide, in my opinion, and this is kind of a return, I guess. But for me, his last great movie that he did was probably Big Fish. I enjoyed.
I love that movie. That movie's awesome.
What about? Did he do Nightmare Before Christmas?
No.
Oh, Corpse Ride.
Yes,
I think he did Corpse Ride.
Corpse Ride is okay.
Tim Burton did do Nightmare Before Christmas? I always thought he did.
I always thought.
No, it's always a misconception. I don't know if he had anything to do with it. If he had anything to do with it at all, he was like a producer or something like that. He didn't direct it. But for me, his great movies are Pee Wee's Big Adventure, Beetlejuice, and Big Fish. So I'd say, meh, because I don't feel like it's as good as, you know, his...
How about Edward Scissorhands?
I like Edward Scissorhands.
You know what? It's on my list of shame.
Really?
Never seen it?
It's
quite good. It's vintage, early Tim Burton stuff that's definitely worth watching. But as far as this goes, it was good, but I can't fully recommend it, especially for kids. I mean, adults, I don't know that they would get a ton out of it either. I'd only recommend this to the hardest of hardcore Tim Burton fans.
Did you know that Tim Burton was a producer on Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Him and Timur Bekmambetov.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's right.
Woohoo!
Bring up your grade a little bit there, Tim.
No.
All right. My next movie.
Your mystery movie of the week.
My mystery movie of the week.
We need a sound bumper for this.
We should. You know what? As of today, there will be a sound bumper for this spot.
Okay.
So, Hermano's mystery movie of the week.
Too bad I have to, start off with this crap movie I'm about to mention. I believe Wally has seen it. I don't think Tim has seen it. Starring everybody's favorite actor, Nicolas Cage. Directed by Neville Dean and Taylor. Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
I did see this movie.
Oh, and boy.
This was in your top 10 last year, wasn't it?
It was in my top... it came out this year.
No, it says 2011.
Yeah, I think it was like last...
Oh, look at that. It was released in February of this year. I'm sorry.
That's right, yeah. That's I remember seeing it around about my birthday.
You're right. I'm sorry.
And I saw it in 3D. Ron, what did you think of it?
All right. This movie is definitely bad, but... It's not bad all around. Its greatest weakness is the writing. The dialogue in this movie is fucking horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. The plot is terrible. Nick Cage is definitely not on a leash. They let him go and just do whatever the hell he wants. Which is, I think, it's funny, but it doesn't really work. And the tone of this movie is completely different from the last one. And as far as the direction...
What was your opinion of the first one?
Now that I've seen this one, it's a lot better. But I wasn't a huge fan of the first one. It was the same thing as this one. I liked some of the action and the effects, and I definitely liked the tone of the first one better. It was a little more serious. Where this one's just kind of went halfway with the Crank vibe, but they didn't go all the way. So it's weird.
Well, because it's PG-13.
Exactly. I think this movie should have been rated R.
Right.
Because I feel like there's things they wanted to do and. They probably just couldn't do it because it would have got an R rating.
I remember watching the previews for this and they hadn't rated it yet. And I was like, this movie better be rated R because there's no way you could pull off what I think they were trying to do with the PG-13 movie.
And the way it starts off is they kind of give you this little animation kind of like previously on Ghost Rider. It's just like, this is what happened to me. I made a deal with the devil and it's a really bad animation. And The movie just starts right off, and right away it's like you notice that the previous actor that played the devil is not there. I forgot, is it William Hurt or something like that? I forget the actor that played.
No, it was he's from Easy Rider. Save me.
It was John Voight and this guy.
John Voight was in the first one?
No, he was the other guy in Easy Rider. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, he's not in this movie, and. As far as the plot goes, it's really standard, and I think this movie, with a tighter script and better dialogue, could have actually been okay.
Peter Fonda,
yes. Neville Dean and Taylor, I like what they brought to the movie. Like, a lot of the action shots and the stuff with the way they filmed the motorcycle chases and stuff like that, especially the end scene in this movie, I thought the end scene was totally worth... Like, I wish the whole movie would have been more of just what happened towards the end of the movie.
Exactly.
Because the end, the last maybe 20 minutes are pretty awesome. But everything before that is so hard to get through. Because even Nick Cage can't save this movie with his, like, crazy Nick Cage-isms. It's just, I don't know. I definitely can't recommend it. I'd say nay on it.
Ava Mendez isn't even in this movie.
No. She's not even mentioned.
Yeah. Is it the same character or a completely different character?
No, he's still Johnny Blaze.
No. The Ava Mendez character.
You know, she's
not even in the movie.
She's not even referenced.
Oh, wow.
She's not even referenced. He's like kind of out in hiding, kind of like, just...
There's a monster inside me. Leave me alone.
Yeah, sort of like an Incredible Hulk.
So how did you see this?
I had it... I totally forgot I had it on my queue from a long time ago, and it skipped like three movies and somehow got to it, and I was like, fuck. I was like, whatever, I got it, I'll watch it, it's an hour and a half, maybe it'll be fun, and it wasn't fun at all.
this is a 4.4 user rating on IMDb.
Yeah,
Metascore of 32 out of 100.
I feel like Neville Dean and Taylor, they weren't allowed to do everything they wanted to do, but you could kind of see some of their touch in this movie, but I feel like, they have like some creative angles and like the motorcycle chases, like I said, and there was only one really bad green screen shot, I thought, like when he's riding and he does that quick like face change. I thought it looked really terrible, but I can't recommend it. I mean, I think the first one's better, and I don't even think the first one's a good movie.
I have this way buried in my queue because I have a feeling that sooner or later it's going to get onto instant queue, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for that.
I'll wait to see what you think, but I think it's pretty terrible.
As an added bit of trivia, Neville Dean Taylor actually had a burning hooker scene set up to go for Ghost Rider, because whatever Ghost Rider rides turns into a hell machine. So the idea was he was going to pick up prostitutes, but they were told they couldn't do that, so the movie would never get made.
Yeah.
So that
and there isn't even an unrated version.
There's no unrated version. They weren't even allowed to shoot the scene. Like they pitched it to Hollywood, the studio, and they said absolutely not. Which is funny. I love to see them revisit it, like to see them these guys like get another shot and making it like a hard R movie, which I think would be awesome.
I think it would benefit the movie a lot to just go all the way crazy, because I feel like they were really, you could just tell they were restricted in a lot of what they wanted.
A little hamstrung, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Walter.
Let's see, it's been a slow week for me with work and whatnot, so I've only seen one movie, which was my number one movie of 2010?
No, 2011. 2011. And that was the first time watchers movie of the year.
Exactly, my first time watching movie. It was Attack the Block.
That's right.
Joe Cornish's first movie that he wrote and directed. And
hell of a debut, huh?
I still love this movie. Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, it's been almost a year since I've seen it, you know, so I feel like I'd go back and rewatch it again. I was trying to find a way to unwind. And damn, if I didn't have a smile the entire time I'm watching this movie, just loving every single moment, everything that happens. It's paced beautifully. I love the kids in this, because they start off as such assholes and you really want them to pay, but then at the end you're like, come on, kids, you can do it. So this is a yay all the way, and you know, don't even bother renting. Just go out and buy it.
You should buy it.
Just go out and buy it. You won't be disappointed.
If you love action movies, if you're a kid of the 80s and love 80s action movies, this is a definite must buy.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
So it's a yay all the way.
Absolutely. Agreed. All right, that's all for you. So for me, first movie I'll talk about is a little movie called Paranormal Activity 3. So this is from 2011. Finally got it delivered from Netflix. Watched it with my hands over my eyes, because as we've established before in previous
watching
episodes,
watching with finger gates.
Finger gates, yes. I cannot tolerate that type of horror. And I gotta say, there is absolutely no reason for this movie to exist.
What do you mean?
Really?
It diminishes the first two movies. In the how they in what happens, the mythology of the first two.
Okay.
They expand and explain the mythology behind the girls.
Yes.
Katie and Julie, right?
Yeah, sounds right. It's been a while since I've seen it.
I'm sorry, Katie and Christy.
Okay.
And I think that the story behind this is utter crap. That it ultimately, what they find out is the reason for the possession,
yes.
or the demons.
Uh huh.
It's stupid.
I didn't think it was stupid.
It's stupid.
I thought it was creepy.
No.
You mean what happens at the end? The last, like, 5 minutes?
I'm not talking about what happens. I'm talking about the reason, you know, what they discover and who is behind all this.
Oh, okay.
It's stupid. It diminishes the first two movies and makes it less, I don't know, just, I just couldn't get behind the expansion of the mythology behind this. I don't think I think it would have been better served. So I've been seeing the advertisements for the fourth one coming out this month.
Yes.
And it looks like they're continuing on in present day or a few years later than the second movie. And I think that would have been better served for the third movie. Just to continue forward, I don't think it's necessary to go back and explain anything. I think it diminishes the mythology of this whole series. And I honestly think it's not a great movie, because the acting is atrocious. The kids are terrible. Now, I admit there are a number of creepy moments in this movie. You know, the sheet. Okay.
In the kitchen?
Yeah. Okay. So if you couldn't get any fucking scarier for me of the cameras and the handheld cameras and all that kind of stuff, you put a camera on a rotating fan. Fuck that shit.
That was an awesome technique.
I admit that is an amazing technique. But fuck no. But other than that, other than some of the techniques that were used in this film, the acting is utterly atrocious. And
no, it was kids. I mean, you can't really say that their acting was bad. They were acting like kids.
No, they were acting like kids who are acting. And it was bad. It just wasn't... I was taken out of the movie so many times, along with how they explained it at the end, and I'm like, oh my god. Plus, the end sequence really doesn't make much sense. You know, I was able to buy, I think, in the first two movies, them carrying the camera in the moments that they were, and bringing it to, you know, through the rooms and stuff like that. But the last scene that goes on for like 10 to 20 minutes or whatever,
yeah,
10 to 15 minutes, I couldn't buy why he would pick up the camera and bring it with him.
I thought he was like in a dark environment and he needed it to see. Wasn't that how they tried to rationalize it? Yeah, he was in the house. He was running through the house and none of the lights were on and he needed the camera to see.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Okay.
I kind of agree with you where I didn't feel like it was necessary to explain the reason why the girls were possessed or being possessed or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the reason they came up with it was dumb. I just thought it probably would have been better served for them to not fully go all the way out of their way to explain every little thing.
Yeah. And then not only do they explain, they show everybody who's involved. And yes. I find that it just diminishes the overall creepiness of what happens in the first two movies.
See, I liked the third one because I thought it had some of the better, like, scare moments.
I admit that the scare moments themselves, but ultimately the plot just takes away from the whole franchise.
I don't go to watch these movies for plot.
Well, I gotta say, the plot of the first two movies are great. They generally make you wonder, you know? They make you curious as to where is this going, you know?
I don't know. I really like the movies. I like how they started off from a specific point and they go backwards instead of forwards, and now they're going to start going forwards again with the fourth one. So I'm kind of interested to see where they're going to go as far as the continuing story of what, you know, happens in these movies. It's kind of hard to talk about it without spoiling.
So. No, I understand, but so Paranormal Activity 3 had a budget of $5 million and it made $52 million on opening weekend.
Yeah.
And gross.
These guys know how to make money.
They really do.
They're not movie makers, they're accountants.
Yeah, I know, huh?
They're a lot of fun, man. I don't go to these movies for plot and story. I know what I'm getting when I go in these movies. I just want to see, you know, have a good time and just see, like, everyone around me just squirm.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of torn between a meh and a nay. I think, like you said, if you're just going to go into it for scares, then I'll give it a meh. All right? When I would give the first two, definitely yays.
Yeah.
All right, so the next movie I'm going to talk about, how do I start this off? Well, let me see. Guys, let's take a ride. Let's take a ride in the Medusa Mobile.
Oh God! Oh no!
Sorry. You know who you can call me from now on?
Humongous?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So I saw Bellflower.
Oh, here comes the moment we've all been waiting for. In this
and show. As usual, I think I have to be the voice of reason between the two of you. So, Hermano, not nearly as terrible as what you claim to be.
This movie is fucking horrible.
Wally, not nearly as great as what you claim it to be.
Stand by my decision.
Okay. Although, I gotta say, I'm a little closer to your side, Wally, than I am to Hermano's, because this is not a terrible movie at all. This is actually a very, very interesting movie. And one of the films that it really... There's two films, actually, that are closely related that it reminds me of. High Fidelity and 500 Days of Summer. Because this is ultimately a relationship movie. This is a movie about the beginning and end of a relationship, and it's told through a man's perspective, you know, just like High Fidelity and 500 Days of Summer are. And I I found this... I was so drawn in as the movie was going on. I was getting more and more drawn in. Now, Hermano, I agree with you. The male acting leads in this movie are terrible. Terrible. And one of them is Evan Glodell, who wrote and directed the movie.
Yes.
He's the main character in this movie, Woodrow. Woodrow. Why the fuck would you name yourself Woodrow? You know what's funny, though? There's two... It's like he played two different characters. With and without the beard. And when he had the beard, later on in the movie, and that's pretty much he barely even talked when he had the beard on, but he was moody and emotional.
Yeah, because when you have a beard, it means you're emo.
Well, no, he looked like Christian Bale's older brother or something like that with the beard. That was when he was more convincing, when he wasn't speaking pretty much, than when he was trying to emote with his voice. And I think it's ultimately the way it was filmed as well. I have a lot... You know, honestly, I wish that we were talking about this movie instead of Clown.
We should do this as a bonus episode.
Yeah, because I have a lot more to say about this movie, because I find this so fascinating. I was so fascinated at the end of this movie. I was like, there's so much to talk about.
See?
You know, there is... Oh my god! It's the mood. What's the matter, Hermano?
I don't know. I just wish there was a way to turn off the sounder because I want to hear what you guys are talking about. I'm so sick and tired of talking about this movie. It's so fucking terrible.
It's not terrible. It's not terrible. It's very interesting.
In what sense is it interesting? That's what I don't
get. Because of the relationship that's built up that they explore in this movie.
Oh my god!
The female leads in this movie are pretty good. You know, they're convincing.
Oh my god, the girl with the fucking gun. You're telling me that girl was
Courtney.
Good?
Well, I didn't
she
find her...
She was fucking horrendous.
No, I don't think
oh
so.
Oh my god, dude.
I don't think so.
We should revisit this movie.
The only two...
I'm not doing it. I will never see this movie again. You guys can do it on your own.
The only two distracting performances, like I said, were the males. You know, Tyler Dawson and Evan Glodell. But... I really liked where this movie went and the way it was filmed. This movie was shot for $17,000.
Yep,
that is insane. And
the car is all real.
Yeah, fine. The car's all real, but that's just a side point. It's not really even the main part of the movie, because you know the IMDb synopsis is so misleading in this. Two friends spend all their free time building flamethrowers and weapons of mass destruction in hopes that a global apocalypse will occur and clear the runway for their imaginary gang. And that's not what the movie is about.
Go by the log line.
Huh?
Go by the log line. That's what the movie's about. It's a love story of apocalyptic proportions.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, but the plot synopsis makes you believe that it's a global apocalypse.
Yeah.
And that's what I find fascinating about this movie and how they're able to connect the apocalypse of and destruction of a relationship. Now, I wish they explored a little bit of the in between the budding romance of the relationship and the destruction, because ultimately he just walks in and discovers, you know, what he imagined, and then that's the fall of the relationship and the fall of his psyche, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I love the ending because the ending is really like 20 to 30 minutes long after that reveal and after he's looking at the box of her stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ending, it's I'm trying not to spoil it, but it goes into how because it goes into his mind and how a male thinks during an emotional breakup. You know, if you're a person, a guy who's been through an emotional breakup, this is how you think. This is one of the ways that you explore the possibilities of what to do, not only to yourself but to the other people or the other person that broke your heart.
Speak for yourself.
You know, and that's why I like, you know, movies like High Fidelity, because it does, obviously it doesn't do that to such an extreme, but it does explore that. And I found this movie fascinating. Now, it's not perfect. It's there's a lot of flaws in this movie. There's a lot of stuff that they could have, you know, either taken out or adjusted or stuff like that. But I think if you're like love film, you know, and are really interested in the construction of a movie, especially for $17,000,
yep.
This is something to explore. This is actually something very, very interesting. This is not the worst movie ever, Hermano. Not the worst movie ever.
Okay, you keep saying this movie was shot for $17,000. Are you saying this movie doesn't look like it was shot for $17,000?
Well, no. Most of $17,000 is in that car.
Yeah,
exactly. Because I'm like, dude, easily alone cost probably close to that. Because I figured they shot this movie for like $100.
Yeah, if you watch the special features, they spent almost like every single dime building that car.
One thing that was really distracting me was the grime that they kept on the camera lens itself. I'm like, why that? There's enough. They used enough filtering in the movie to be able to get the emotion across, you know. Yeah. But and they built their own cameras, didn't they? Yeah, they built their own special cameras. So. And, you know, there's some talent behind this. I would like to see this Evan Goodell explore something else. You know, I don't want him to act again.
No.
I want him to write and direct something. Either or, you know. I'd be curious to see what his follow-up is, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I have, oh man. I'll give it a meh, because I'm going to go in between. You. Like I said, I'm being the voice of reason here. I have to give it a meh, but it's a strong meh, because there's some very, very interesting things in this movie. Hermato?
Next.
Doodling.
okay. So that does it for yay or nay. Now it's time for trailer hitches. This is the part of the show that gives us an opportunity to mention a movie trailer that either gets us on board for an upcoming movie or makes us want to bitch. Wally?
All right. Well, initially I did not have a trailer of a movie that's actually in the theater, but I saw a DVD box at Movie Stop, and I went back and looked at the trailer. It's by the director of The Machine Girl and Robo Geisha, and this movie is called Karate Robo Zarbagar. It's about a guy who inherits a motorcycle that is part motorcycle, part karate expert.
What the fuck?
I kid you not. All justice. The trailer is awesome. It's like the quickest teaser trailer where you see the robot and it's done with CGI where it transforms. It's an homage. It looks like an homage to Japanese Sentai films like Kamen Rider and what became the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And things like that.
The cover looks horrendous.
Well, check out the trailer. The trailer has got me hitched on it that I'm probably just going to go out and just buy this movie outright rather than wait for Netflix to get it.
Oh, dear God.
Because there's a wait, and the movie's only $15. So I'm probably just going to go out and just buy the movie outright because I have Robo Geisha, and I have Machine Girl, and you guys both liked Machine Girl when you watched it with me.
Wait a minute. No, I won't say I liked Machine
Girl. We had a fun time watching that movie.
I liked it. I thought it was funny.
And this movie looks like it's going to be more of the same. There's even like some shorts on YouTube of, like, the guy commanding, you know, the robot to, like, do things. Like, this guy's, like, late for work, and the robot picks him up, runs him on his back, and he gets him to work. And the motorcycle, the robot transforms into a motorcycle and speeds away, and the guy's like, what the fuck? Then, like, he's trying to put out a fire, but he keeps, like, dipping his hands into, like, a bucket of water, and then running to, like, throw the, like, splash water on the fire, but there's, like, no water left in his hands. So then the robot, like, takes water in his hands, transforms into a motorcycle, goes to the fire, and then there's still no water. This movie, this, I think I'm just gonna have to go out and buy it. It'll be a yay or nay in the very near future.
Oh, God. You know, so Machine Girl is the type of movie that I could only watch with people like you.
It's fun
you
to
know?
Watch people with that movie.
I could never watch that movie by myself, because I would just feel like I'm wasting my time. Anyways, okay. Hermano?
Okay, so like I said, I had seen Frankenweenie in 3D, and before the movie they played a lot of 3D trailers, and one of them was The Hobbit in 3D.
Ooh.
And I know there was a lot of concern because, you know, Peter Jackson shot the movie in 48 frames per second. And
that'd be really low resolution if it was 48p.
Yeah, that'd be really low.
Well, you got a bunch of boxes.
A bunch of pixels. But anyway, I know there was a lot of concern because of how he shot it, and people were saying it had like a a soap opera look effect to it. You know, things were popping out, kind of looking like cardboard cutouts. But if the trailer was any indication, I'm here to say that you can put your worries to rest because it looked pretty damn good.
Well, they probably showed it in 24 frames per second.
Perhaps. I mean, the movie was... I mean, where I saw it, it was a Sony 4K projector digital. So they could... I don't know for sure that it was shot in 24... I mean, shown in 24 or 48, but whatever they did show looked really good. And, you know, of course, I'm looking forward to the movie. I was a huge fan of the... I've never read the books, but I was a huge fan of the original three movies.
So yeah. How did the 3D look?
3D looked really good. It looked Avatar good. It was the type of 3D that I appreciate more when it gets you more to react to it. It's like reactionary 3D more than just, you know, stuff in the foreground or, you know, in the background. It, you know, stuff kind of like a spear will come close to your face or like a... You know, rocks crumble off of a ledge and it looks like they're falling on you. You know what I mean? Like, I like that type of 3D. I think that's worthwhile where it gets you, you know, reacting to, you know, the things you're seeing on screen, get you a little more into the movie. But, I mean, the movie, I was already totally sold on it. I wanted to see it no matter what because I think Peter Jackson did an amazing job with the original three and I can't wait to see it. I mean, I was concerned. I was like, I wasn't even going to give 3D a chance. But now that I've seen it, I think that I might actually... give it a chance, and of course I'm going to hitch.
That's cool.
Tim?
So, being the resident diehard fan in this...
Did you say you're a diehard fan, Tim?
Anyway, moving on. don't encourage him.
That was funny.
I will talk about the trailer that I saw for A Good Day to Die Hard. Now, I saw a similarity in this trailer than I did to the trailer for... Live Free or Die Hard. And we all know how that turned out.
I have not seen Live Free or Die Hard.
Okay, wow. You should, by the way.
Kevin Smith's in it.
I know. Yeah, I just haven't gotten around to it.
However, that ultimately is not a Die Hard movie. You know, it's an action movie. And I'm pretty sure that there was a script floating around that had very similar plot mechanics, but some producer wanted to... revive the Die Hard franchise and said, why don't we take this script and put John McClane in it? Okay. You know.
I gotcha.
Then we'll put the Apple commercial guy in there too and say, hey, we'll have him help you out. Anyways, we're talking about A Good Day to Die Hard. The trailer, like I said, reminds me of that movie, so I'm... of course I'm going to watch it. Of course I'm going to see it. Of course I'll hitch my wagon to the trailer, but with reservations because it's going to be PG-13. Just like the fourth one was.
Well, we don't know that for sure yet.
It's going to be PG-13.
Is the first one PG-13 or is it an R?
It's rated R. 1, 2, and 3 are rated R.
All right.
Yeah. So.
I don't know. I think they might have learned from their mistakes. Going to make this one rated R.
I note sarcasm in your voice, which is good. Anyways. Yeah, so A Good Day to Die Hard. Sure, why not? okay, so that brings us into our review of the movie Clown. The plot. In order to prove his fatherhood potential to his pregnant girlfriend, Frank kidnaps her 12-year-old nephew and tags along on his best friend Casper's debauched weekend canoe trip. The director, Mikkel Nørgaard. The actors, Frank Kvam, Casper Christensen, and Marcus Jess Peterson. Hermano, I will tell you that this movie kind of reminded me of a mix between two comedies.
I know where you're going.
I know you love Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
And I know you really don't like The Hangover.
No, there was only one element in this movie that was like The Hangover.
Did you see any of the similarities as well, or did you come away with a different vibe altogether?
I think I told Wally while we were watching
it.
We both said it.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
This reminds me of like a much dirtier... Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You two watch it together?
Yes.
Yes. And as far as the hangover element you were mentioning, I can kind of see it in as far as, like, it's a couple of guys that go on this trip.
Well, his friend, what's his face?
Casper.
Casper is the one that is, like, the Bradley Cooper character.
Sure. He's, like, just all about having a good time, and they're on this mission to go on this thing he keeps calling the Tour de Pussy.
And, the Tour de Pee.
Yeah, and then when the kids around, he calls it the tour to pee, but I could see it as
and
far as
that. And the tea to pee, eventually.
And some of the elements towards the end, but I definitely leaned a lot more towards the just a movie version of the show Curb Your Enthusiasm.
And... Well, funny enough you say that, because this is a movie of a Danish comedy called Clown. So this is a TV series in, in Denmark.
I didn't realize that.
I did not know that.
And I tried looking it up, and it's not available on Netflix, so I would really be interested in seeing this.
What if you could find any of the episodes on like YouTube?
Yeah, I'd have to explore that a little bit more. Anyways, continue, Romano.
Yeah, but overall, it's probably the funniest movie I've seen all year, and probably the funniest movie I've seen in a long time. I'd say it's funnier than movies like The Hangover, and potentially even funnier than Curb Your Enthusiasm.
What?
But it's a lot more risque. There are things, there are a lot of raunchy and pretty offensive stuff in this movie, and it's not for everybody. Like, I don't even know who I could recommend this movie to. Like, it's got, like, you know, insinuated rape. It's got, like, you know, child pornography, sort of.
Yeah, there's a little bit, isn't there?
So, I mean, it's tough. It's like, you have to have a really, really good sense of humor to get anything out of this movie. And, I mean, I don't take anything too, you know, I got thick skin. Things like that don't bother me when I know it's done for fun. You know what I mean? Like, I know they're not, you know, there was no, like, seriously, like, this wasn't, like, a, I wouldn't say it was a dirty movie. I'd say it was a... It was a risky movie.
Yeah, you have to have a certain mind, yeah, disposition to be able to tolerate something.
Yeah,
like this.
Yeah.
Wally,
I'm with Armando on this one. I thought like the pacing of this movie is the only thing that actually threw me, because it's paced obviously for a European audience, where it's like something absolutely hilarious, and then a long pause before the next crazy hilarious thing happens, and then it's another long pause before the next. Like crazy thing happens.
They don't pile on the comedic.
Yeah, stuff it's not like boom, 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 boom. So you have like a pause. So like, and that helps it, because like those like funny parts become that much funny because you're not expecting to see them all of a sudden. So it's like, oh, it's like, oh, this is happening. All of a sudden, oh my god, what the hell?
Yeah.
So the pacing of this, I think, this movie, it took some getting used to. Like at first, like I'm like, all right, so where's the next joke? I'm like, all right, so this is how we're gonna do this. So now I'm just kind of. Almost anticipating, like, oh, there is, when I was, the joke's coming.
That's funny. So overall, you really liked it.
Overall, I like this movie.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, too. I thought it was pretty funny. Yeah, at first, I'm also like, oh, great, another movie with a kid in R-rated situations. Remember my brief review of The Sitter?
Yep.
But, you know, he was never placed in the middle of any of the events. He was always, like, in the periphery.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed that. You know, He turned out to be like the butt of the joke a couple of times, but it was always by accident. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't ever anything ever malicious towards the kid. You know, so it was just a byproduct.
Lots of happens to Frank.
Yeah. Yes. And you wonder how someone, just like Curb Your Enthusiasm, how someone could get into these situations. You know, it's funny though. I actually know someone like Frank, and absolutely believe that someone like him could get into these situations. That's funny. I don't know what else I can say without getting into real specifics, you know?
Yeah.
'Cause it
a lot of the comedy was, it was kind of like sight gags. There were, a lot of the comedy came from callbacks, I think, for me. Like, where they would mention something in, like, maybe, like, 10 minutes previously. And then all of a sudden, it would just be something, an event that led to that becoming, like, a hilarious, like, situation.
Like, Plicker's eye patch?
Oh, man,
we gotta
talk about that.
That was fucking great.
Because I don't want to give away the jokes until we get maybe into spoilers. But
it involves a pearl necklace.
Not even.
Yeah, not even a totally botched pearl necklace. But like Tim said, like I thought I was afraid that it was going to be a lot of the same thing, like I was talking about in 21 Jump Street, where it's just like, oh, isn't it funny to like swear in front of like high school kids and you know say motherfucker every other. You know, five words, you know, but like you said, like the kid was kind of the butt of the joke a couple of times, but it was usually when they were inebriated or, you know, they were smoking pot or whatever. And like, it was just kind of an accidental byproduct of that, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I love, like I said it when we saw like, I Saw the Devil. Like I love what movies are coming out of like all these European countries. Like, I feel like they just take it up a notch where this movie, I don't think, like I told Wyatt, I was like, this movie would never come out in theaters here without massive cuts.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't even know that it ever could, because I mean, unless they shot 2 hours of footage, they would have to cut out like a ton. And it's only an hour and a half movie. It's not very long. So it's like, what could they have cut out? Everything that I think they would have cut out, it would have brought this down to like probably 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's only, it's not even 90 minutes long.
Yeah, so I mean, I love what they're doing. I mean, yes, it's out there and it's crazy, but it's like, I'm glad that movies like this exist.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm able to see things like this because I think a lot of the stuff that comes out in the States, like, is... it's just total like rehashing and remakes and,
well, I think,
and bullshit.
I think the difference. I think that's a different market altogether. You have people in Hollywood. The idea in Hollywood is to make money.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Over there, you want to make a movie because you have you want to make a movie.
Yeah.
I think I don't know this for sure. This is my just basically seeing what we've seen come out from Europe. That I think that's kind of like the whole, like, it's art there. So yes. Create art. Even if people don't get it, like people don't like it, like, you know. You know, things like chances, movies like I Saw the Devil. That's an art piece. Someone actually believed enough in a movie about revenge to make this. And this person believed enough. Like, I think this would be funny as shit to see on big screen to see people would laugh at this.
Yeah.
I think this is funny. And I want to make a story based around this, around a coming of age.
Yeah.
But for an adult as opposed to a coming of age for a kid.
The culture, the sensibilities over in Europe are a lot different than the U.S. So you're right. There aren't as many... taboos to overcome, when it comes to either comedy or violence or anything like that. So stretching the boundaries in our tastes is what they're able to do a lot.
Well, that's not worried about like ticket sale. You know, probably not as worried as much about like we have to worry about who we're going to offend, or you know, this could, you know, if we can make this appeal to a broad audience, maybe we could, you know, get more people to come to the theater. Is there any way we can make Hitler not anti-Semitic? any way at all?
And because like they don't worry about things like that, you just get a lot more of a like creative ideas and creative movies. Like it's like every time I see a trailer for a movie that's coming out, I'm like, holy shit, that looks like ass. And then every once in a while, like I'll just catch one of these movies, and I'm just like, holy shit, I'm totally blown away because you don't see things like that often around here, and like very rarely do you. I mean, even The Hangover, I don't think, compares to this movie, because I think this movie did a lot of things where The Hangover is just a bunch of, like, drunk, like, party humor, where this was just, like, a lot of, like, just, I don't know, just the way the movie was structured and how it called back to jokes, it really, really reminded me of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I love Curb Your Enthusiasm, so I was like, man, this movie totally hits a home run with me.
Yeah. Is there anything else we can talk about without spoilers? I
mean, we kind of briefly mentioned what the movie was about, but, like...
Yeah, the overall plot of this. It also how do these two become friends in the first place? You know,
exactly.
That's probably established in the TV series.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know? But for the movie, you know, obviously this is an introduction for American audiences to these two characters.
Yeah.
So you don't really know how they're friends. They don't really go in and explain it, do they?
Because one's a really out there, like, you know, outgoing guy, and the other one kind of seems like he's like an introvert, like he's kind of like shy. Like
Frank is the introvert and the shy guy, but he's also socially inept. You know, he's not really able to.
He's like a Larry David.
Well, no, not even that, because he doesn't even stand up for himself at times. You know, Larry David in Curb Your Enthusiasm is able to try to get himself out of these situations, you know, by talking himself out of these situations.
Yeah.
But he doesn't even do that, you know. He's just
I feel
inept.
Like he does. I mean, he did go to his friend and try to explain his position on certain things, but his friend was always just like, don't ruin this fucking trip for me. Like,
but I mean, to anybody outside of his circle of friends, you know, or the people he knows. He wasn't able to fully, you know, explain himself.
You know, well, he would try, but it was always, like, in a really mousy way. Like, you know, he's not, like, this imposing figure. He's kind of, like, this dorky guy with glasses. And he'd just be like, you know, I really think we should maybe do this.
Yeah.
You know, he's just kind of like that. And, like, of course, like, it leads to hilarity. You know, he's just always... He I feel like he wants to do the right thing, but he's just... So, like you said, like socially inept, that he just never gets his point across, and it's hilarious to see. I love these type of characters.
Yeah, just an example of the humor that's in this movie that makes you like, wait a minute, you know. So they establish that the kid
I believe it's his nephew.
His nephew is only able to urinate while sitting down. You know, he says this to Frank, but. Frank at one point goes into a public restroom and he sees his nephew sitting down on a toilet, but the door isn't even closed. So, you know, he says to him, well, why didn't you close the door? Oh, it's because I'm urinating. And I'm thinking to myself, you still couldn't close the door. You know, it's just something like that is so funny, where it's just left open like that. You know, yeah. Not the door physically, but you know, literally the dialogue is left open. You know,
and the whole reason why the kid is even in the movie at all is because, you know, like you said in the plot synopsis, his girlfriend, it's not a spoiler, it's right in the beginning of the movie, his girlfriend is pregnant, and they're trying to she's trying to decide whether or not he'd make a good father figure.
Yes,
so. You know, he
kidnaps the kid.
He sort of kidnaps the kid, but, you know, not really, because, you know, he's watched the kid before, and, you know, he's supposed to go on this trip with his friend that they've been planning for a while, and it's to go to, like, this this event that happens once a year where this guy, one of their friends, brings, just flies in a ton of prostitutes from all these different countries to this house, and they just have a big fucking fun party, you know? and they've been planning this trip forever, and it's, like, the highlight of this guy's year. And he decides right at that moment that, you know what, I'm going to prove to her that I could be a good father and show her that it's a good idea to keep the kid and not have an abortion and take him on this trip with us and show him the time of his life. And then his friend explains to him, he's like, dude, you're ruining my trip. And not only that, if this kid doesn't have the time of his fucking life on this trip, like, he's just going to go back to her and tell her that you're the shittiest guy in the world. Yeah. It's going to backfire on you anyway. So now not only, you can't just take him on the trip, you actually have to show him a good time as well. And, you know, of course, that's, you know, when the hilarity ensues, because he has to try to come up with ways to show this kid a good time on this canoeing trip that they're taking to a prostitute, you know, a house full of prostitutes and stuff like that. And he's got to improvise. And that's where, you know, a lot of the funny stuff came from.
That's actually one of the funny, like, one of the non-spoiler jokes is when Casper's trying to tell his wife he's not bringing the kid. And the wife's like, why can't he come? And Casper keeps, like, going to, like, he's about to save, like, he almost lets, like, the ball, like, the egg, the cat out of the hat, and then he's like, covers his mouth and he's like, you know, brushes his hair back, and he's like, because you do something you don't want me to know about, isn't it? He's like no, it's just canoe trip, just the guys.
yeah anything else you guys want to get into before spoilers?
This movie is pretty spoilerific, actually, when
yeah talk about anything in the movie, into some of the situations they get into.
Okay, spoilers. I finger in the ass.
That the best part is that he looks just so, like, I would rather be somewhere else right now. While he's just the most unenthusiastic, just like, okay, are we done?
He's just there. It's like, how did I get here?
That scene was actually spoiled to me. Did either of you guys ever see a trailer for this movie?
No.
I saw a trailer for a while back on one of the other podcasts I listened to. They mentioned it, and I saw the trailer. And pretty much the trailer is that scene.
Really?
Yeah, like, it's just that entire, almost the entire scene.
Huh.
And I'm just like, this trailer is not, you know, it was obviously a Red Band trailer because of what's happening in that scene. But I was like, this is the trailer for this movie? I'm like, okay. I'm like, it doesn't tell me much about the movie, but I can tell that it's out there.
So the only thing that I saw after that scene of that was a problem was that the girl, the woman that's involved in that scene, it kicks them out the next morning, you know? And it only seemed to be served as a plot device for later on in the movie. You know, there was no reason that she gave. I mean, she gave a reason. She said, I felt like you violated me last night. But you never saw any, like, anger or anything like that. You never saw a reaction, like, the aftermath of that sex scene, you know, and say, like, a look on her face or something.
Yeah, she did a complete 180.
Yeah.
And it wasn't established as to, like, at first she seemed
like a finger in the ass will do that.
No, but I mean, she seemed like she was into everything that was going on.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, it's like, maybe she was bipolar, I don't know, but it seemed like she changed her mind very quickly and just kicked them out, and it was kind of weird.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. That was the only thing that really threw me off about the whole movie, you know?
Yeah, other than that, I mean, this movie did not hold anything back.
No.
Like, anything you could think of, like, I mean, there were times when they, you know, there was this running gag in the movie that the kid has a really small willy.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, you know, they're just making fun of the kid. He's like this little, you know, plot thing that's going on in the movie, but I'm thinking, all right, you know, whatever, they're just going to keep referring to it, and I'm thinking, there's no way they're going to show it. And inevitably, they show
it. At the very end, like, they show it.
I'm like, what the hell?
You think that was real?
I have no idea. I hope.
Nah, I don't think it would.
It looked pretty real.
I mean, it's a close-up shot, so you don't see the kid's face, but it looked pretty real. I mean, whatever it was, but I mean, I was like, I don't know why I even thought they wouldn't show it, because everything else they show in this movie, I'm like,
well, they show his friend Casper getting fucked in the ass, you know?
At a concert. That's not me.
Oh, okay.
And it, yeah, at the end of the next morning, you know, as Frank is walking by, and but the thing is, he fucking walks up to Frank and he's like, you know, there's awkward exchanges between them, but then later he explains it as he was being raped. But he wasn't being raped because he could have easily run away.
Frank's like, I saw you making love to another man. And then one of the best like giggle moments is when Casper goes to sit down on like the big vinyl couch. He sits down and immediately pops himself back onto the side.
That's right.
We should also talk about his little move that he keeps using, the man flirting.
The man flirting where he like pinches like your wrist and then your neck. So that
and he only does this with like men. And he's like everybody's just, you know, every guy's a little gay. You know, you can flirt your way out of like any situation. Like
right.
He uses it as like a way to kind of get his way on what he wants. Like,
well, he uses it to disarm that very man at the beginning of the movie when he sees the.
And I guess it was a little bit of mixed signals there because the guy takes it as the guy was actually gay, and he takes it as that Casper's gay as well. And you know, of course, it leads to the.
But it's also funny when Frank later on tries to use the same move against the CEO of the liquor company, and he's like hugging him and like grabbing.
Yeah, you knew that was going to come later on in the movie because you know he's trying to teach him these moves. So when Frank does it, of course, it's totally inept. Yeah. Totally.
He's just hugging him. He's like, give it to me. Just give it.
Oh man.
And inevitably, I thought the movie had a little bit of a heart, like towards the end, with inevitably what Frank does, because another little mini. Thing that's going on in the background, a little mini plot thing, is the kid is collecting bottle caps from these drinks that the adults are drinking.
Yeah.
And if you collect like 288 of them, you get this like model car.
And how is it 288? What a random number.
It's totally, you know, random. But, you know, by the end, to make up for this, you know, inevitably bad trip that the kid has, Frank takes it that he's going to take it upon himself along with his friend that they're going to get him the rest of the bottle caps. And get him this model car, and they end up going to the factory of this this bottling plant, and you know, trading in their caps. And inevitably, of course, the company doesn't have any model cars left, except for this one like floor model,
display model.
And you know, what happens at the end is that you know he grabs this gun and holds up the people and takes the car, you know, by force. And then sends the kid off and, you know, gets arrested and stuff like that. And I thought it had a little heart there. Like, they tried to... It'd be like, you know what? We were really fucked up and trashy throughout the entire movie. And then by the end, we're gonna you know, soften it up a little bit. But then it goes right back to, like, raunchy humor and stuff with the end dinner scene.
I'm surprised they didn't show anything in prison with him, you know?
he's in an like a weird open prison. Like, there's nothing really to... He's basically just being held there because, like, he gave up. He didn't hurt anybody or anything like that.
I guess. I feel like it was, like, a minimum.
Because, like, there's, like, a little giggle moment, too, where, like, he's walking through the halls and he sees, like, this big bruiser guy with, like, tattoos. Like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, that's so
like,
weird.
He knows him.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, the Casper Christensen, he's, who played Casper.
He looks really familiar to me. Does it say what else he's been in?
He's a writer, he has 27 titles that he's written, but as an actor, other than Clown, oh man, I don't see anything so far out of Denmark.
I just thought maybe he had been in like a Lars von Trier movie or something. He looked so familiar to me and I just couldn't shake it. I just kept looking at him. I let it go after a while, but I was like, man, this guy looks incredibly familiar.
Yeah, no, but there's 46 episodes total from 2005 to 2009 of Clown, the TV series. So I gotta tell you, if it's anything like this, I would definitely have to check it out.
I'd be willing to check it out.
And as a public service announcement, gentlemen, jizz in the eye is very, very dangerous.
Oh, we gotta talk about that.
Because I wanted to talk about this, ladies. So... Frank is talking to a bunch of guys at a book club, and basically he's concerned about how he thinks his girlfriend Mia might leave him. So they said, what you need to do is you need to show how much you love her. Give her a pearl necklace. So he's thinking jewelry, and they're talking about like coming on her tits or on her neck or whatever. So Frank gets into trouble because he abandons the kid during a house invasion.
He jumps out the window
and leaves the kid behind. So Mia's pissed. So he figures the best way to make it up to her is that he goes into her room while she's sleeping and starts beating off. And then
Just as he's coming, Mia walks in behind and goes, "What are you doing?" Mia's mother is actually the one in the bed, and she gets jizz in her eye.
Yes.
Which is the callback later that whenever you see Pliker, who's like the character, she has an eye patch over one
that
eye.
That's so great.
For the rest of the movie.
You know, that's kind of symbolic of the movie itself, because whatever he touches turns toxic, you know,
yeah.
So or damages, you know, so.
All right, I want to talk a little bit more about the eye patch, because at one point, I mean, I feel like the entire movie takes place in a couple days.
Yeah.
And at the dinner scene, it's been 6 months, because he goes to jail for 6 months, and at the dinner scene, she's still
wearing the
eye
patch.
And I'm like, 6 months later, holy shit, what was in that jizz?
Toxic chemicals, man.
Seriously, I was like, damn, dude, you blind, you took her eye out?
Yeah.
Anyway, like, yeah, I mean, just, I mean, some of the humor was kind of rough. Like, the insinuated rape stuff kind of got to me a little bit. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of done in a funny way, but it's kind of like, at the same time, it's like, I don't know, is rape really funny? Like, it's really the point at which I was like,
maybe when he claims he was being raped?
No. When he claims that he went back to the
camp. Did you? Because you did not go back to the camp and rape that girl. He's like, I tried to, but it didn't happen.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, it's weird. Like, I'm like, oh. I was a little uncomfortable with that part, but I mean, I was a little uncomfortable with the child stuff too. But overall, I was like, you know what? They're doing it for laughs. They're not like, it's not like some gang member raping some helpless woman in an alley. You know, it's done for laughs. And while it's not the funniest thing in the movie, I mean, it didn't detract too much for me from the overall enjoyment.
It's not irreversible.
No, it's not. Oh, prepare yourself.
Anything else you guys want to mention?
Those pancakes look delicious.
The pancakes.
Oh, those were fucking... Dude, I could have gone for the whole stack of those.
Yeah, those pancakes were so fantastic.
They were like, what would you call them?
They're crepes. Almost like crepes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were good.
With a whole bunch of them. Like, oh, just keep those coming on the plate. They're taking like one at a time. Like, fuck that. Give me that.
Oh, and the pantsing scene was pretty funny too.
Oh, that was pretty funny.
Because I was so ready for him to like just tackle one of them or throw them into the pond or something, and he just runs up to them, pants this that kid, and then leaves and shit. I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, the father beats him up though.
Yeah, and the father later tackles him and stuff. Like,
I love the ensuing scene where the camp director is trying to have him explain this to what exactly happened. just goes downhill.
And that's the thing, though. It's like, he's not a dishonest person. He always told the truth. Like, this is exactly what happened. He said my nephew had a small penis, and then I got upset, and he didn't want to apologize. Blah, blah, blah. Like, he's really mousy about it, but I never felt like... I felt like he was a lot like...
And then
him.
He explains that they got kicked out to his friend Casper, and he goes ballistic, and it says, "Can't I sleep with any of you?"
You drink my wine, you can hear me play the harmonica and the blues. That's not a pass to sleep with anybody?
Yeah. That's great. Anything else?
Well, that's it. That's all I got.
Pretty much
I don't want to spoil it for anybody else who might be, you know, any more jokes that might be hidden in there.
Yeah.
I just want to know what the hell a schnozzle was, because, like, it looked like it hurt, and it sounds like it hurt.
Yes, yeah.
But, like, I couldn't, like, after seeing it close up, I was like, what the hell is he doing to
it? Must be a cultural thing.
It's gotta be. I'm gonna have to look it up.
I still couldn't, like, it sounded like there was a snapping sound.
Yeah, like,
he
strikes him across the bridge of the nose with, like, his knuckle, and, like, cracks his nose.
I was like, did
almost.
He just grab it like this and go like that? Like, right up?
No, like, he goes, like
it looks like he drags
like,
his knuckle down the bridge of the nose.
Like, you're like a cracking noise. I guess that stings, I mean, if you do it. But, like, could not figure out what a schnozzle was.
Yeah.
Grades, Wally?
A bit of B+.
Hermano?
I go A-. It was the funniest movie I've seen in a long time. Like, I haven't laughed out loud like that at, like, every couple minutes in a long time.
I give it a B+ as well, so I guess that's a B+ average.
B+ average.
Fair enough.
Sounds good.
All right. Okay, that does it for this episode of the First Time Watchers podcast. You can find us on Facebook by searching First Time Watchers. We post movie news and updates that we think you would be interested in. And you can email us at firsttimewatchers@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter at 1sttimewatchers@twitter.com.
And we have a Tumblr page, which is at firsttimewatchers.tumblr.com.
Please download our episodes on iTunes and feel free to leave a review. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. If you have any suggestions for movies for us to watch, send a tweet, an email, or post on our Facebook page. And stay tuned for our next episode. I think we'll be discussing Ben Affleck's newest film, Argo.
Right on.
Right on.
Argo it is. First Time Watchers podcast, because we like to watch. I have to hit the record button for the bars to start moving.
And I like just talking normal volume like this, like they go in three quarters, right?
Yeah,
they're now, like
little,
last. Actually,
yeah, they're about 3/4. Maybe just a little.
Yeah, that's memories from work.
It goes really loud. Maybe I don't need any game.
It was really fun to do that, like, in the, like, to, like, to close us down the men's, just do that when people, like, were using the urinal.
I remember when I would just go.
All right.
Oh, I miss. Careful.
I miss working at Head sometimes.